Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through the episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello.
Well, hello there, Twinsy.
I know.
We're wearing the same. Go ahead.
We did not plan this. I just want people to know. I almost wore the Delta Flyers hat, and I thought, no, thank God. Otherwise, we would have been twinsies.
So. Yeah. Yeah, we both have this Delta Flyers official sweatshirt. You can find it at the Delta Flyers store, which has the amazing cartoons and that Rebecca has made, and
yeah, you can access the store at, let me just give them that web address. You can access that store at theDeltaFlyers.org. O-R-G.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
We chatted a little bit last episode about possible other merch that we could go into. We said maybe boxer shorts, which would be cool. Yes. You vetoed jock straps, though. You said no Delta
no.
Flyers jock
How did
straps.
You bring that back up? 2 weeks in a row. We've gone there. Wow.
I just wanted to ask you, what else would you do, man? What other merch would you like to see besides t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs?
I would like
and stickers
to offer on our store actual Delta Flyers shuttlecrafts, fully functioning shuttlecrafts. If we can do that,
you just imagine the retail price of that. $1,565,000 for your very own shuttlecraft.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. It's fun. The merch is fun. It always has been fun for us to think about things we use and that we like, and then kind of brand it with some fun, creative Delta Flyers logos or cartoons or clever, funny quotes and things like that. So,
Well, Robbie, I mean, we could offer the real live shuttle, but there really would only be two purchasers of this shuttle. It would be Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk. They could buy it. Maybe Paul Allen, if he was still alive, he would have bought one for sure.
Elon Musk has already got plans to go to Mars in that giant, it's called a Starship is what he calls it, I think. The something Starship.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a calendar. They just did a test flight on the reentry. I saw the video. It's kind of amazing what SpaceX is doing these days. It's just the everything seems to be coming together with the launches that they've got and taking, their human flights up to the space station, the International Space Station, and all kinds of things. It's really exciting.
Wait. He is planning on going himself?
No. I don't think he's planning on going, but he's... Huh. This was really a goal and a vision that he kind of set for the company, and to have manned space travel to Mars in his lifetime.
Right.
And so they've got a ship that looks like it could do it, or it's getting close to being tested enough that it'll be able to do it. So, yeah,
that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I don't know if I would take that ticket
to Mars. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm a little hesitant on that. It depends on how long the round trip is. Like this could, I mean, it's obviously going to take a while, right? It's not going to be like a LA to New York flight. It's going to be a long, many, many days is what I'm guessing.
Oh, maybe, I would think. Yeah.
Maybe
weeks, months. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've just been watching some of the launches and the reentries and the landings, and it's kind of amazing the technology, how advanced it is and what they're doing.
Yeah. Still so, very exciting.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this week's episode is...
Yeah, what is this week's episode?
It's Innocence.
Innocence.
Or you can pronounce it a French pronunciation. Innocence.
Innocence.
Innocence. Innocence.
I don't speak French, so... But it,
you do.
You know what's the funniest thing? The funniest thing is, it's embarrassing too, being at conventions. Ethan Phillips, I don't think he speaks any other language other than English. He barely speaks that. but he can imitate things so well. And so I've been in overseas conventions in places like Germany or wherever. Germany comes to mind, but he will start making up a language and he's so committed and does the accent so well that you're like, oh my God, he's speaking German or he's speaking French or he's speaking Russian or he's speaking whatever the language is, but he's not. He's just, he's making up gibberish that is so committed with the accent. It's astounding. It's a talent that he definitely has, but sometimes I'm like, no, Johnny, don't do that.
That's almost as impressive as a trip to Mars, really. I think
it really is.
To gibberish in a foreign language, that's not easy.
No, and he just goes and goes and goes. So you're like, oh my God, well, he's going so deep. Of course he's really speaking this language, but no, he's not. None of it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Although I hope he doesn't insult people that, you know, he's not making fun of any language. He just is such a great kind of mimic of languages and fearless in his commitment to the gibberish version. So
yeah, that's key. The fearless part of it, because he commits 100%. If you're not 100% into doing foreign gibberish, you're going to crash and burn. And he doesn't. It really, he keeps it going. That life.
He should have done that
alive.
On Voyager. We should have landed on some planet where they should have just let him run.
They should
have. Like, oh, I speak this alien language, the Ocraterians or whatever.
Yeah.
He should have just done a gibberish version. Like, oh my God, that would have been hilarious.
Oh, that would have been good. That would have been good. All right, man. So let's go watch this episode.
Let's go watch Innocence. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. All right. So we will be right back after watching. Okay. So we are back from watching Innocence.
Innocence. Season 2, Tuvok episode. Wow. I'm not surprised, by the way, when you and I were talking about this, what I remembered was basically the big information that comes out at the end of the episode, because it was the only scene that I was in where they explain what's happening.
Oh.
That's why I remembered. I didn't remember much of the rest of the episode, but I did remember that, you know, the big idea that sort of got spilled by, what's her name?
Are you talking about first prelate?
Yes, the first prelate.
Alcia?
Is that
that's her name. First prelate Alcia. So that makes sense. You worked that day.
I did.
So
I found
that's why.
I did remember. Notice that you and I didn't come into this episode until like minute 22 or 23. I don't think you were in it at all. I know I wasn't in it. But I did have good hair in this episode. I had fluffy hair. So.
All right. All right. Let's start off our recap the same way we always do. Let's do our synopsis.
Yeah, let's do our synopsis. You've got the haiku. I take the limerick for this season. What is your haiku this week?
My haiku is Tuvok is stranded. He must babysit Drayans. Not children, old folk.
I think that covers it. I don't know why we need a limerick at this point.
We're done.
All right, here's your limerick. You ready?
I still want to hear it. Let me hear it.
Yeah, I'm ready. Limerick. On a moon where Tuvok's shuttle gets broke, there's three kids who aren't just a joke. Tuvok finally learns the truth. They aren't exactly just youth. In their world, they're actually old folk.
Bam! What? You ended yours with old folk as well? Stop. See? Yeah. We're like sharing the same brain. We wore the same clothing today. We ended our synopsis with the same old folk phrase there. That's unbelievable.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Teleplay by Lisa Klink. Stories by Anthony Williams. Directed by James Conway.
He was a steady regular with us at this point. He's been in a bunch of season two episodes. And then I think Jim Conway disappears after a couple of years because he goes off to work for the Spelling Company, Aaron Spelling's company. And so Jim was not available to direct on our show. So he was season two. He was directing all the time. And then I think we'll find in the next season or two that he's going to all of a sudden disappear. But he was running Aaron Spelling's company.
Well, yes, that sounds about right. He was one of the execs there, you know, and although he disappeared from directing Voyager, his legacy will remain because of the entire, come on, Robbie, you know, thing that will forever live on and on and on. So Jim Conway is
you're the one who wants to go eat cheese.
Was that the best you could do?
I wasn't really.
Did you have another thought? Okay. All right. So we start with the, you know, the first shot is Tuvok is attending to Ensign Bennett, who dies. And I got to say, that's probably the first person to die in a shuttle accident.
Yeah, I think it was one of the first people, very few people die on our show. We don't deal with death. So the theme and the kind of the franchise, the story area of this episode is set out on the table from the very first moment, the very first scene, with that crewman dying, and it was very sad. I gotta say, very sad. I will say, as we start this episode, that this planet that they filmed this episode, this planet was over on stage 17, wasn't it? Was that the stage where we built where the caves were and we built all our... So stage 17 was far away from the sets. We were on stage 8 and 9, right? And
correct.
Stage eight and nine, stage 8 was the bridge and the mess hall and I think Janeway's quarters.
Captain's ready room.
Briefing room. And then on stage 9 were all the hallways, the engineering, sick bay. And those were the classic. Mm-hmm. That's exactly where TNG filmed and everything. And then we had stage 17 far, far away. And I remember when they would take all of our, filming equipment, they would take these carts and sort of tie them up together. And they would drive them down. Do you remember? They would sort of drive them down the alleys because it was far.
Like a cart caravan. It was like a cart
train that would go down all the way over to stage 17.
Yeah.
Now, stage 17 was very famous because they had filmed back in the old Hollywood studio days, the big studio days. There was a swimming pool on that stage where they did all of their swimming pool movies and things. I guess those were very popular. The swimming pool was still in that stage, just underneath the stage floor. And another thing to know about that stage where the planet you see Tuvok in, there were a lot of cats in there. Do you remember this?
Yeah, a lot of stray cats.
A lot of stray cats, and they would live.
And not the band, not the band.
And they would live in the pool that was all the space that was underneath, and they could not get rid of these cats. And so a lot of times with those planet sets, like the caves or this kind of set, you would smell cat piss. You would smell the cat urine.
Yeah.
It was really disgusting. Wow. And there's not much they could do. They would try, but the cats, we would go home and the lights go out and the cats come out and snoop around. And so that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw that set was like, they built a whole planet, which we did on occasion, not often because it was a big deal to build a whole planet with the sky backings and all the trees. And but that's the first thing that came to mind was stage 17, the swimming pool under the stage and the cats. And the other thing that came to mind was they would use a ton of lights, more lights than we normally use. And we shot on film back then, so they had to use a lot of light for exposure. And it was hot. It would get really hot. Do you remember that? On that stage?
Yeah. That's the least favorite stage, Robbie. Nobody liked that stage. We didn't like
it. It was a dirty, kind of older, just it had all the planet stuff there. So that's the first thing that came to mind as the episode started. Yeah.
That stage might as well have been in another zip code. It's so far away from where our trailers were. Stage 8 and 9, hair and makeup is right there at 8 and 9. Our trailers were by 8 and 9, and then 17 was just this
far away.
It was a trek, a literal trek to get there. So,
I see what you did there. That trek.
You did? Yes. This episode was interesting. It kind of lulled me to sleep, actually. I actually fell asleep.
Did you really? That's great.
I did. Yeah. I did. It was very calming listening to a Vulcan babysit these children, supposedly.
I loved watching Tuvok with kids. I think that's a great matchup to have Tuvok and kids. But I know what you mean. There was something very in his voice, and there was a lot of lessons being taught. And so I found myself sort of like, okay, we're hearing about a lesson, a Vulcan lesson. Same thing. I was getting a little sleepy.
Did you?
Okay. I did. All right. But it was very calming. There was something very comforting, I guess, about it. I did enjoy Janeway's excitement talking about first contact with Chakotay. I found that to be a really interesting, we didn't often see that sort of peek inside both of their thoughts, about first contact. And first contact is such an important part of the Star Trek mythology. It's just a very important part. First contacts are always a big deal. And so to hear them actually talking about their characters' feelings about first contact, not just diving in and doing it and skipping that part, but hearing about it, I thought was really interesting.
And then we come to the transporter room where we meet the Draenns for the first time. Interesting. They kind of resembled the Okompan from the pilot episode when, Harry and B'Elanna are kind of trapped there, and the similar sort of color clothing, and that sort of the Okompans actually had this kind of mesh that draped across their nose and mouth. Yeah. These guys had kind of a mesh that came over their entire head, right? So there was some similarity to that. I wouldn't be surprised if they reused the wardrobe from the pilot for these aliens.
It happened all the time. They would recycle things over there.
Yeah, repurposed. Yeah, and I find it interesting when they give them a tour. Janeway gives these guys a tour. They go to engineering. I think it's interesting that the first prelate, Alcea, has these concerns about, you show us your warp core? Are you really,
yes, you value that. That's the most
fishing. She's fishing.
You can tell she's a very kind of pious, religious, conservative, dress, the way that they cover their faces. At least in an Earth experience, most cultures that cover their faces do it out of some sort of religious tradition that's about, covering anything that might be showing off or, I thought it was very interesting to see the inspirations for some of these aliens, like the face coverings. And she immediately, when she gets in the transporter room, she says a blessing to Chakotay, and then Chakotay responds. Right. By the way, I wrote down here, Chakotay responds with his blessing. He says, "On na hu pez nahits, on na hu pez nahits," meaning peace in your hearts, fortune in your steps. He says the spirit of his people share this blessing. So on na hu pez nahits. That's the language lesson for today. Kidding. I don't know if that's any language or if that's maybe that's like an Ethan Phillips, but made up language, but
gibberish language.
Who pez nahits is what Chakotay says. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So I jumped the gun. So we're done with the transporter room, right? And then they go to engineering.
Yeah. And you definitely see her
and then you can see
her sort of.
Yeah. Like she's concerned. She's like, wait a minute. Are you showing me this first? Because this is what your culture values more than anything else. And then we learn that the Draenns or at least ancient Draenors, were so preoccupied with technology that their society almost self-destructed. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for an event called the Reformation. The Reformation saved them, so obviously that's something where they all threw away their cell phones or something like that, right? And they were like, no to technology. So we learn a little bit about how pious these mm-hmm. people are, for sure, during their tour.
Yeah, I thought Voyager. It was interesting, the Reformation. I thought it was interesting because usually that tends to be like a way of describing kind of a regressive, you know, falling back on older traditions or, you know, abandoning, which is what they did. They abandoned, you know, they recalibrated their priorities, I guess, and not, you know, not change and modernization or technology in many ways, but going back to, you know, really doubling down on some older traditions, which I thought was interesting.
So then the majority of this episode is really bouncing back and forth between Tuvok and the kids and the bridge and us trying to figure out where Tuvok is, right? That seems to be the main motivation.
Sort of lost contact. The atmosphere sort of blocks out any ability to make contact with this moon. And they didn't even know we were on the moon because Tuvok only told, we find out later, B'Elanna and Neelix, I think, because B'Elanna says, oh yeah, he decided to go check out this moon. So he's definitely a bit out on his own there. But it's interesting. We go back down to Tuvok and he's hanging out with the kids and Tuvok talks about Bennett's body and sort of taking care of Bennett's body, that he's put this force field around the body because they really value a ceremony that honors that person's life, which I thought was very interesting. And, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back on it, just again, the themes of life and death and different perspectives about it. And Tressa talks about, the little girl talks about the attendants that got them into escape pods to save these children when the shuttle was crashing, which I thought was an interesting word to use in this dialogue, you know, attendants, because immediately my ears perked up to that, you know, that the children seemed to be royal in some way, or you know what I mean? That they had attendants.
Yeah. But I'm guessing those are the attendants that each of them had that was supposed to attend to their passing, you know, to their release of energy to the next consciousness or whatever you want to call it. So, and then I guess they didn't make it, right? Yeah. They crashed. So that was the whole point of them being alone, that we find them alone. Tuvok teaches the kids how to meditate. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. I like that. How to deal with fear. So there are a lot of lessons actually that Tuvok gave to these kids that could be utilized in the real world now for anybody to use, right? So I found
the kids also mentioned the TARDIS. Did you hear that? Yeah, they said something about the TARDIS. And I thought that's really interesting because isn't the TARDIS from the original series?
Well, no, the TARDIS is actually a reference to a Doctor Who.
I could have sworn they said TARDIS. That's right. That's what it is. It's Doctor Who. What am I talking about?
Yeah, not the original series.
Yeah, but I heard the word TARDIS. Maybe it was a different word, you know.
It had to be a different word. I don't think there might be a comic book crossover of Star Trek and Doctor Who, but there's definitely not a Star Trek television series crossover.
When they're talking about the Morok, or whatever they called it, they were talking about that, and it was around that meditation scene. I could have sworn that they said something like a TARDIS or I don't know. I'd have to
really.
Go back. Oh. It just the word jumped out at me, but I didn't pause and rewind. So I was like, I gotta ask Gary about that because I thought I knew that was something, but I don't watch Doctor Who, so I didn't make that connection.
Shame on you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. So yeah, he meditates with the kids, which I think was really wonderful. I thought that Lisa Klink did an amazing job in this episode with the dialogue of sort of describing for children who Vulcans are. It was a wonder. And I thought Tim Russ did a brilliant job in his delivery of it. Although he was getting annoyed at the kids right around the time where he goes, oh yes, I control my emotions. You know, they're like, you don't feel anything? He's like, no, I wouldn't call it that. I control my emotions. You know, he wasn't in control. He was getting very annoyed, which I thought was funny.
I wonder how much of that is actually Tim Russ, the human.
Yeah.
being, as opposed to Tuvok, you know, the character. Because at this point in Tim Russ's life, he is a single man. He has not had a child yet. Yeah. Later, he ends up having a kid. In the later years of Voyager, towards the end, he ends up having a daughter. And I just think that maybe that was just Tim being kind of a putting more of himself into that role than the character.
Yeah, so the Draens send a team down to the planet to look for the kids. And a very close call, because the kids have now told Tuvok that they sent the adults sent these children there to die. They sent us here to die, they tell Tuvok, which of course sounds horrible, that, you know, these young children in his mind who have their whole lives ahead of them are being sacrificed or killed and for some reason. So he goes to hide them and barely escapes this away team from the Draens that's trying to find them.
Did you find it odd that when that team was searching for them and they're hiding in the bushes, and then that one kid like starts rattling the foliage? It's like, what are you?
I know. I know.
What are you doing? Why? What? Huh? What does this mean? Hey, we're hiding, but not really. Come find us.
Wasn't that kid on another show, like the Maori sisters, or I think it's.
I think so. That kid looks
like he was on a sitcom or something. Family Matters, I think. I'd have to look it up, but he was deaf.
The Maori sisters, the twins. Twins,
and I think he was. That's his older sisters, and I think he was on that show as well.
Yeah,
but he looked very familiar to me.
Sure,
the kids I thought were great. By the way, I thought they were awesome.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, Torres and Neelix come back.
What a weird pairing that is.
Yeah. I actually
see that.
I was so curious about that arrangement. And they say they found lots of polypharenite, and they haven't heard from Tuvok. And again, I just want to mention Paris's hair was great on the bridge. Awesome hair. and I thought, you know, they get a call from this woman. What's her name? The head lady with the
Alcea. First,
she's an uptight meanie. I wrote down. She's just an uptight meanie. I thought, you know, she's not very nice for such a pious person. She just was very sharp and mean.
She got so snarky. Yeah. She really did.
And Janeway asked B'Elanna to run some scans or something. And she's like, "Did you find anything?" And B'Elanna's like, "No, I can't find anything." And Captain says, "You know, keep scanning." And B'Elanna sounded in her delivery when she goes, "Oh, I'll keep working on it." She sounded like this exasperated teenager. I loved that. I would love to have seen B'Elanna a little more like, "God, I'm so, homework is dumb. Fine." It was very funny.
Well, speaking of B'Elanna, I just want to go back to the whole B'Elanna and Neelix combo. That seems like a recipe for disaster. Because, you know, Neelix is always Mr. Morale Officer, and I could just see him like, you know,
oh, so, Lieutenant Torres, why are you, is something upsetting you? And just, I could just see her breaking his nose like she broke Ensign Lieutenant Carey's nose. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could see there being a major combustible sort of
situation. Oh, I think it'd be hilarious to see an episode with those two. It'd be hilarious. Yeah, so, eventually we see that there's some Draen ships heading in and Tuvok's trying to escape before it gets dark because the children keep dying in the dark, disappearing in the dark. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I got to get you off this planet before it turns dark. The captain asks Paris to join her. Woohoo! I got asked to do.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking like, this point in the series,
something's happening.
I feel like there was an opportunity. I don't know.
Most definitely. There was flirtation, man. You guys are sitting in the shuttle and there's you're doing through pre-flight checklist. And there she is going, we don't need that time. You know, I mean, it was a very
look at these guys.
There's something happening.
I don't know why
it was a little
that
sparky.
Didn't go somewhere for those, for those that follow the romances and things, I think, this was an opportunity for Paris and Janeway to maybe have some bonding. He had really good hair this episode, so surprised that it didn't lead to something. But anyway, they're flying down, and Tuvok's trying to take off, and there's some shuttle stuff there. The Draens kind of fire at Tuvok. He cannot escape the atmosphere, does not have enough power to do that, and ends up back on the planet.
What'd you think of the Draen ship, the one that's in orbit, the one that first
it's kind of cool.
I'll see
you mean it, what it looked like. I thought it looked pretty cool.
To me, it looked like it was straight out of Star Wars.
Oh, really?
I mean, that was such a Star Warsy looking design ship to me. I was like,
wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then the shuttle that you jump onto with Janeway is a different looking shuttle than the one that Tuvok crashes.
Really? Oh, it was a little different. You're right.
That one is. Yeah. That one was the one that Tuvok crashes. It looks like that boxy tissue box looking.
Which is
design.
The old shuttle. I think they used that shuttle on TNG. Shuttle. They used it on Deep Space. Not like that shuttle was a hand-me-down piece of set that they never quite adapted. That's why the Delta Flyer shuttle was even created.
Yes, but the one that you jump onto with Janeway kind of looks like the Delta Flyer. And so I was doing a double take going, wait a minute, Delta Flyer is not even created yet.
No.
Right? So why does that one look so sleek compared to,
it did look,
the old boxy, that was like the Volvo of shuttles.
Well, because the one that crashed.
Boxy
the one
and
that
boring.
Tuvok was in was an old set and they just didn't want to spend the money to build a new sleeker shuttle because you got to build the whole exterior. It's a very it's a very expensive set piece to build and they just want it was saved them a ton of money just to repaint it and keep the shell of the old shuttle that was 10 years old at this point or more.
Well, if I had a time machine, I'd go back in time and I'd take some of my paychecks and say, here, go build a better shuttle. Go build a sleeker, nicer looking shuttle. But the one that you jump on with Janeway is sleeker.
It was a little sleeker, it didn't look the same.
Yeah. Oh, we also skipped one thing. Down on the planet, Tuvok sings.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I did skip that. I love that singing. I loved it. I made a note of that.
Oh my God.
Tuvok sings.
I've completely forgot about that.
I wish Tuvok did a lot more singing on the show. I really think that's,
He should have. He should have. You know, he should just sing when he's on the bridge.
His voice feels
at tactical.
I know Tim can really belt out like an R&B song or rock, rock song with his band. He can sing all kinds of styles, but to sing with the quality of voice he had for Tuvok was the perfect voice. It was the perfect sort of magical, vibrato in the voice. It was just very.
Yeah,
it was great. It was great. I wish he had.
Yeah, he has talent.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I wish Tuvok had sung more of these Vulcan tales on the ship. You know, it would have been a really lovely thing to see. I don't think he ever did it again, but who knows? Maybe he did. I can't recall it.
But what if he just sang while he was on the bridge? Yeah. Like if Janeway was like, status report, Mr. Tuvok. And he was like, I detect an anomaly to the starboard side or something like that.
That would have been nice.
Okay, continue.
Well, so yeah, we, you know, there's a lot of like shuttle escaping and Paris and Janeway trying to get to him and they just can't quite connect. They can't get transporters through. The Draeans are really trying to keep them from escaping with Tressa. And eventually Tuvok has to land. And so we see them back on the planet surface, the failed escape, and the aliens come face to face with the Voyager crew, with Tuvok and Tressa and Janeway and Paris with his great hair.
And yeah. Paris's hair.
And this is the big reveal scene. This is the one where I, you know, like I said, that Netflix, you know, synopsis triggered something. Yeah. I did remember that the kids were old, not young. So this is where the characters all learn it. We realize the aging process is going backwards and that Tressa is really near the end of her life. She's actually 96 years old. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really great scene. I mean, it was a lot of explaining. You know, there was, I feel like if I had one criticism of this episode generally, it would be that there's a lot of sort of explaining of our sci-fi ideas and explaining of our Vulcan culture. And I would have liked to have seen a little more doing, like things happening. You know, it was fun to watch Tuvok deal with children because that was just fun to watch. But if this, I guess what I would say is if this, as we learn in this final scene, if this big sci-fi idea is that the aging process works backwards and that these children were really almost like very old people, very old humans with some version of dementia, some version of, you know, because they didn't know that they were old. They were acting like children. There's so much rich human experience to explore there. I wish we had seen more of that.
Yes.
And I wish we had seen it and known that that's what we're seeing. Even if that had not been known by Tuvok, for example, if Tuvok was stuck down there and the Alcea lady had said to Janeway much earlier that, you know, we age backwards and this planet is sacred because that's where as we age and become innocent again, become innocent children in many ways, that we return to this planet in our old age, but we appear like we're children. If the audience had known that, and then you go to see Tuvok dealing with the kids, but he doesn't know it, that could have been an interesting, I think we could have gotten more into actually seeing how dementia might play out or aging, where the mind and memories and things kind of fall away. And the innocence, like they say in the explanation that, you know, near the end of life, that they sort of embody pure innocence. They return to their childhood place of pure innocence. I think it could have been interesting if we had known that as the audience, but we sort of find it out in this final scene where everything is sort of explained. So it's dramatically not very satisfying to me. But still a cool idea.
It's just a lot of exposition. Yeah. I hear you. What's your theme?
My theme was, this might be stretching it a little bit, but my theme, my takeaway, my lesson, let's call it a lesson more than a theme, wasn't just about death or dementia or any of those issues or aging backwards. It was about people whose perceptions and perspectives are polar opposite. You know, Tuvok thought these were young, innocent children at the beginning of their life, and the other race knew that they were old people at the end of their life. So my theme, my lesson is, even with people who have polar opposite experiences to us, that if we dig a little deeper, we can see that things are true for both of us. Things that connect us can be true for both of us. So if, you know, I think once Janeway and Tuvok learned that, your aging process works backwards. We just have to flip our thinking, but we still can understand what's going on now. That's the lesson to me is, you know, a reminder that when I think someone is maybe a polar opposite, is doing something insane and absolutely the opposite of what I would do, is to maybe look a little deeper at their perspective and their reasons, because maybe there's more that can connect us than I realize on the surface. Long-winded way of a theme or a lesson, but that's what I took away from it. What did you have a theme?
It was hard for me to figure that one out. It really was. I mean, I would just, part of it was like, strive to communicate with transparency.
Yeah.
Because if prelate, I'll see it just sit off the bat, these aren't kids, these are our adult, you know, or old people, then maybe there wouldn't have been all this. There's so much drama over just people being, I don't want to say like people being deceptive, but people not sharing information is what it was, you know? And that I think has to do with how they went, the Draenns chose to isolate themselves because of all the issues they had with technology in the past. And they became basically more, you know, they became Amish. They were like, nope, we're just going to do our own thing. We're not going to interact with other races or other alien species. Mm-hmm. And that's bad. Technology's bad. Everything's bad, you know, and it's just, you take it to the extreme. So really the overall theme is moderation is key, you know, everything in moderation. You know, that's it. That's what you need to learn.
That. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this episode?
I'd give it about a 6, maybe 7. I mean, it's a good character development episode.
It's a really,
you know, you get to see some.
I think Tim Russ did not have enough to do in this series as a whole. So I was really happy to see him have a big episode like this.
Yeah.
And I really connected ultimately to the themes and the ideas of the episode. But I'll say I'd probably give it a 4. I'd probably give it a 4 out of 10.
Right.
It was not dramatically compelling. It was intellectually interesting, but I could have read a treatise on that. I could have read some essay about those ideas and been equally as enlightened to some of the ideas. What I really wish it had had was more drama, more real drama playing out, you know, that characters have to accomplish something and they don't accomplish it. And that drives them to even more extremes or things that they don't know that they act. Anyway, there's all kinds of ways to create drama that's actually happening and not just talk about it. So I'd give it a 4.
Yeah. But for a show that has 9 series regulars, and we are arguably the largest series regular cast of all, you know, compared to TOS, Next Generation, DS9, Enterprise, any Star Trek show, we have the most series regulars.
I feel like DS9 had a bigger, even though they may not have been series regulars, they had so many recurring characters.
A little recurring. They did. But in terms of series regulars, when you take a photo at the beginning of the year, the cast photo, we got the most. We have 9, you know. So it's very difficult to do justice character development wise when you have that many people and a limited amount of episodes per season.
True.
So anytime you have an episode that sort of lends towards one guy knowing a little bit more about one specific character, the fans are happy about that, you know. And me being a fan of sci-fi and of Star Trek, I am happy to see a little something.
And that's why I led with that, because I was really happy to see that. But as a dramatically satisfying episode of television, it was a little below average to me.
Well, you wanted to see more doing than saying or than explaining.
There was a lot of explaining.
Right? So that's right. There's a lot of explaining. And a lot of times, you know, that seems to be not the cop out, but the easier road traveled is to just sit there and throw the exposition out. And this is why this is happening, because we will tell we won't show you.
Do you remember? I think this was this when we were doing Voyager. There was a TV show on Fox called Space Above and Beyond. Do you remember that series?
Yes.
I didn't really watch it. But when we were doing, I think it was early in Voyager, Fox had the show Space Above and Beyond. I don't think it ran for more than a season, maybe.
One season. I loved it. I watched all the episodes.
A lot of young people, right? And a lot of action.
Yeah.
And
one
of the things I heard and never saw this, but they did an episode that had no dialogue until like the very end or something.
Whoa.
And the way The way it was described is it was basically a silent episode that they had to do this and do that and do this. And at the very end, there might've been a couple of lines where they finally spoke. Mm. And I love that idea too, because what that does is it forces you to do. You can't rely on any character going, well, let me explain to you for a couple of paragraphs the really interesting things that you should know. They have to do something because they didn't have any lines. So I think that would have been interesting for us as a cast to have had an episode where there was no dialogue. That would have been, you know, that something happened to where we couldn't speak, or, you know, I don't know, whatever it was. I just remember a silent episode. And so, yeah, that's in our rating system, I would say Voyager needed a silent episode to make up for the over-explaining episode. But all right, there you have it. There's our recap rewatch of season 2 Star Trek Voyager, Innocence.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In noissance.
Yes. Apologies to any French-speaking people. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm making sounds that sound French to me.
Pardonnez-moi.
Omelette du fromage. Trying to be funny.
Yeah, oh, very was, good. Omelette du fromage.
That was a Steve Martin joke from...
Cheese omelet. Okay. Join us next week, guys, as we review the episode The Thaw. And for everyone who happens to be one of our lovely Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.